Welcome to another exciting broadcast of Help Relationships 102. I'm your host, Pastor Lewis Green. It is so good to be with you today. I pray that God's grace is keeping you even at this moment. Before we get too deeply into today's broadcast, I do want to remind everyone to like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102. Remembering that there's no exclamation point at the end of Help as it is here on Blog Talk Radio. But we've been delving deeply into the racial issue in America and is very much a part of what we do. As the name of our broadcast is Help Relationships 102, and this would definitely fit under the category of relating to others. And I think that it's high time that we started dealing with these kinds of issues. I think that the media will paint the state of affairs as they stand, but all that does is feed the gulf and feed the problem. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be reported, but there are many of us that should be coming up around and recognizing what the media is revealing and doing our part, whatever that part might be, whatever small part that might play, to bring healing to the races and to take whatever gift and whatever grace you've been given to use it towards this end. And so that being said, we've been trying to look at the race issue through a panoramic view. Our heart has been to sit down and look upon all sides of the argument, all sides of the perspective, all sides of the point of view. I think it's necessary, even essential, to do this. And so yesterday we opened up a little bit on the African-American perspective, or the African-American weakness, I should say. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to look at, and I especially want to look at the black and white issue on this broadcast. I really want to open up the differences there, because it is so easy to point at someone else's weaknesses and ignore your own. And, you know, I think we all have enough weaknesses. We all have enough issues. We all have enough problems to go around. And yesterday I underscored and I pointed out some of those in the African-American community, some of those weaknesses are there. And we opened them up and we said some things that needed to be said. And I am African-American, so I appreciated what, especially wherein I was speaking. And I want to today, I want to begin to open up some of the issues with white America. Now, I want to say this now. When we point these out, we're not doing so critically. We're not doing so judgmentally. We're doing so as a matter of fact, as a matter of acknowledgement, and as a matter of healing, so that we all know where we sit in the overall scheme of things. Because as the Lord would have it, each ethnicity, each race, each nationality has its own set of strengths, weaknesses, and idiosyncrasies. And the Lord created this place we call America, or the great melting pot, so that we can come together. And when something melts together, they meld together, so that our differences don't separate us, but they help complement us. And as the Lord would have it, He would have the differences in each ethnicity, in each nationality, in each race to come together, and so that we can work together and meld together and be together and walk together in this nation we call America. And it's the beauty of it. We're still trying to grow up into our creed and to grow up into this great ideal, but we are growing. And to ignore that is to do so to the detriment of continued growth and of the pace wherewith we are growing in. And so we have to recognize what the issues are and how to deal with them. And I talked yesterday about African America and some of the issues that are obvious to everyone. And I pointed out that it is important to be able to face our issues, to confront them, that we might have a chance in overcoming them, assuming the posture of pointing the finger of accusation, the finger of blame at others, and not focusing on our issues has proven to not be helping us. And so we want to take a look at who we are, who everyone is at this table, and talk about it and open it up. And I think that the black and white issue is indeed a prevailing issue in this nation. I know there's Hispanics and there's Asians, but I think the clashing, the serious clashing, takes place on the black and white level. And each nationality, each ethnicity, each race has its own stereotypical behaviors and idiosyncrasies and ideologies and features, and that doesn't make us all bad, okay? Because just like there's weaknesses, and there may be great weaknesses, there's also strengths and even great strengths. But if I look at you and I judge you through the eyes of weaknesses first, then I do so at my own expense and at the expense of our togetherness and of our solidarity and at the expense of our peace, our peaceful coexistence with one with the other. And so I don't know about you, but it's just not worth. I don't want to be the one throwing another log on the fire of something that seems to be shaping up into something of a racial civil war. And we don't want to go that far. And so we're trying to head this thing off at the pass as best we can. We're trying to do our little meager part by simply talking about it and opening it up and having our say. And we invite you to join us on Facebook and give us your thoughts, annotate your feelings, and let us know what you're thinking with regard to this great issue. And so yesterday, as aforementioned, we talked about some of the weaknesses in the African-American community. And today I want to talk about some of the weaknesses in white America. Now, some folks may say, white America doesn't have any weaknesses. White folks don't have weaknesses, you know. And I think if we look at it from that perspective, it keeps us from being able to see ourselves. If I can't look at myself, I can look at you and see your weaknesses, but I can't look at me and see mine. You know, when I do marriage counseling, the best and most successful times that I've had is when both couples are willing to acknowledge not just the opposing party's weaknesses, but their own. I know now that we're ready to work. When someone comes into my office and says, you know, they're all the problem, I'm the innocent victim, and it's all them. Those are the hardest issues to work through. The ones that are the easiest and that I've been able to be the most successful in are those who are able to see themselves and can say, yeah, I know that they're struggling here, and I know that they're having problems here, but it's true, I do bring these issues to the table also. And if we can begin to do that, then we've got a chance. And as I addressed African America yesterday, we've got issues, we've got problems, and we need serious people to help us to begin to deal with them by first helping us to start looking at them instead of looking and blaming and taking responsibility for issues and placing it on others. I know it's a matter of pride. I know it's a matter of honor and guilt and shame. But unless I can look at it, how do I stand a chance of overcoming it? Now, I want to talk about some of white America's issue. This is not going to be exhaustive, as yesterday's regarding the African-American community wasn't exhaustive. But I really believe that one of white America's biggest issues is that how they use the power that they've been given, how they use that power. And the Lord anointed white America from the beginning with our founding fathers, to establish one nation under God. Because white America set their hearts to build one nation under God, that the Lord be our national God, God blessed America. He blessed the work of white America's hands. But then as time passed, white America used that power to the point of abuse. We start off with the Indians and the African Americans and other ethnicities and cultures and nationalities. You know, let's start off with what happened with the Indians, how they basically stole this land from the Indians, how they slaughtered them in a very unchristianly fashion, going cross grain with the creed, with the American creed of being one nation under God. And we painted the Indians as being the bad guys when we committed horrible and terrible travesties against them, against the whole people. And then the Africans that we've gone to other lands and enslaved them and brought them here and made them second-class citizens. And at once upon a time, white America was convinced that Africans didn't have souls, that they were very much like cattle, and they were treated and looked upon as such. And I always say that slavery brought out the worst in both sides. It cost both sides their dignity in a way that now is shameful to both white and black America alike. But I think the consistent theme here is that white America has taken its power to build, and they abused it. They are stronger than the Indians, and so white America tends to take that power and overpower and abuse that power and to use that power for themselves. And I think that's been a consistent theme, to take that power that they were given to build one nation under God and to use it as a means of taking control. Okay? And I believe that part of the lesson in this nation is that this nation is under God and that God is in control. And we're going to go on because I know a lot has happened from then until now. And I believe that right now America is in the process of almost divorcing God. But that's the topic of another broadcast. But I want to look at the weaknesses in the white community so that we can recognize them. Is that the power that each person has been given has been for the better of mankind, is for the uplifting of mankind. Jesus put it this way. He said that the Gentiles or the unsaved, or when they are given authority, they exercise it. He says, but the same is not so in my kingdom. He said, the greatest among you shall be your servant. And instead of taking the power to serve mankind, I think white America controls and rules. White America's tendency has been to rule at the expense of others. I mean, consider now that I am a light-skinned African-American, and there are millions of us, and it's a result of the slave master way back then abusing his power with our great-great-great-grandmothers. You see, it was commonplace. And so the power that they were given to build one nation under God, to build the kingdom of God, white America's tendency has been to struggle to use their power properly. And whatever you don't use properly, you abuse. Now, African America has also struggled to properly use the power that we have been given as well. But I want to pay special attention to white America and her tendencies, that we might be able to come to the table in peace and in acknowledgement. We all remember the civil rights marches and the dogs that were sicked on the African Americans and all the lynching and the family picnics that revolved around the lynching of African Americans. We all remember slavery and how black America wasn't permitted to vote or to have say and to have liberty. And we all remember, we could go on and on and on. And let's not even talk about the American Indians, who are now almost non-existent, basically snuffed from their land, taken from them. And so I believe that white America's big issue, and let's go on as even far as to say this, white America dropped 2 nuclear bombs on Japan, on innocent women and children. I know we wanted to stop the war, and I appreciate that, but, you know, we dropped bombs on innocent women and children. And so I think that we have this power in white America, and I think they struggle with the proper use of the power that they've been given, and that there's a tendency to take that power and to do so to the expense of all others, and it be for our agenda. Now, I'm not making a blanket statement, and I am not trying to say that all white America is the same. I'm not trying to say that, just like not all African Americans are the same. But there's enough responsibility, enough issues, enough problems to go around. There's no race greater than the other. The Bible says that part of what we're to do is to correct the oppressor and set free the oppressed. The oppressor is the one that is the offender, that takes control and that forces his power, forces his will on another. And I think one of the weaknesses of white America is that has been historically their tendency. Even now, they tend to be the most successful and the most well-to-do, financially speaking and prosperity-wise. And God does not give a gift to a nation or a people for them to take that gift and to elevate themselves. He gives it to bring about equality, so that the high places are being made low, and that the low places are being made high. And so that white America leans down to those with low esteem and does its best to pick up those with low esteem. I believe that the welfare system is meant to be part of that. And I know some in the African American community see it as a plot to hurt African Americans because ultimately it has hurt them. But I don't believe that that was the intent. Does it make sense? Would white America ascend through the welfare system to the point that it's hurting white America? They would spend that time hating on another nation. That doesn't make sense to me. And I know that some folks argue that and they're passionate about that, but I just don't see that. It doesn't make sense. Why would I take a hammer and smash my own toe? I'm going to feel the pain. You know, all the money that's being funneled into the social systems and the welfare systems is hurting the nation, okay, overall. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be done, but I'm saying that I just disagree that white America is using the welfare system to destroy your people. Now, ultimately, it is hurting the people, but I don't believe that that was the intent. And I think it's far-reaching and unfair to make that accusation. I really do. But I say all this to say is that we have to look at all sides of, you know, all sides of the table and to find out where the strengths are and to look carefully at where the weaknesses are. Okay, and let both come to the table and talk things through. But we both have to be able to acknowledge and admit what our weaknesses are if we have a hope in overcoming them and in coming together. And so even now, white America has been given power to build. Now, black America is growing. Okay, I guess the ironic thing is, America is a great melting pot. It's not probably what white America would have wanted or originally thought it to be, but it's what America became, because the one nation was founded under God. It was God's idea and not white America's. It was God's idea. And so that's why she's become a great melting pot. Now the idea is, how do we melt together? By recognizing who each other are, where each other's coming from, what each other's strengths and weaknesses are, and moving to close the gaps. And we talked yesterday about the terrible weaknesses in the African American community, and we had to address some of those in the white community, because there is racism on both the white community side and the African American community side. The racism is the same. Just because you're African American doesn't mean that it's impossible for you to be racist. Okay? Racism abides, lives, hides in the heart of all ethnicities, all races, okay? And we've gotten much better as a nation, but we still have so far to go. And so as we sit at the table, one with the other, we have to recognize our strengths and recognize that our strengths as a responsibility to our brother. That's right. As a responsibility. There's some problems in the white American community. And so to be a part of this great melting pot, white America is going to have to continue growing in their ideology and their perspective of African America. And that doesn't mean that we can't recognize each other's weaknesses. We can talk about it, because the Bible says to correct, just like we said yesterday, that white America should have the right to say, okay, but you've got to do better, and I'm going to help you. It is also incumbent upon the African American to do the same thing to white America. If the white American has power, he's been given authority, then it is incumbent for African America to remind white America what that gift is for. That doesn't say that African America goes to white America with their hand out. That's not the point that we're saying. Because when we come together in African America, we will be able to stand on our own. We are in the process of trying to stand up. And I believe white America does play a part. Maybe not the way it was before, but maybe the beginning of correcting those departments that do get out of racial control, and to do her part in correcting herself. You know, when stuff happens and it's obvious and it's easy to look through the lens of racism, to know that when you do so at the expense of the continuing division of the great melting pot that the Lord ordained. That there is an expense. There's an old saying they were using once upon a time, and it goes, no justice, no peace. And so understand, when you see one of your brothers abusing their power and taking control at the expense of another race, at the expense of another people, those of you around should be the first to correct them and say, that's wrong. You can't do that stuff. That is wrong. It's unjust. Okay, I believe that a great deal of the success of the civil rights movement was because of our white counterparts that came in alongside of us and fought alongside of us. And so I want to say this, and I think I really want to make this point. All black folks, all African-American folks aren't racist, and neither are all white folks. And I know that many of you would debate that with me. And many of you would even argue that, but I beg to differ. I don't believe it's true. I remember I was of a mindset many, I guess, decades ago now, that there was a great divide and that whites didn't think much of blacks. And then I ended up living down in Georgia for many years and befriending many of those in white America, and who became like brothers to me and showed not so much of a hint, not so much as a hint of racism. We became and are to this day brothers in the truest sense. And so I know that racism does not secretly hide in the heart of all white America or secretly hide in the heart of all African America. I think when we make blanket statements that way, I think we do it to the expense of our own togetherness. Okay, we do so at the expense of the integrity of the nation, of the national integrity. And I think that we had to look at it. If someone exhibits it, if someone exhibits racism, then someone ought to correct them and say, you know something, that's racist. I don't care if it's an African-American making a statement about a white person. We should say, you know something, that's a racist statement. And we'll say, well, they're racist. Well, we don't need to be that way. And the same with white America. Okay, and the same with white America. If you see one of your brothers calling African Americans nigger, that brother needs to say, you know something, that's racist. You know, that's racist. And begin to correct the oppressors. Begin to correct those who are perpetuating racism in this nation. And this is what God is saying. You see, God is bringing us from where we are to where we're going. And what happens is, when he first does his work, he does it first within the context of the body of Christ. And then it bleeds into the rest of the world. God does it first in the heart of his people. And as a result, he gets access to the rest of the world as almost veins flowing from the heart. And so I'm calling and I'm speaking right now to especially those who profess to be followers of our Lord Jesus. I speak to you first, you who are pastors in churches, you who are Christians who love the Lord. The Bible says that love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Okay, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. I remember Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritans and the Israelites were, you know, they had a kind of a race war going on, very much the same way. But that brother went by there and he broke the racial lines. Okay, he broke the racial lines to fulfill the law of Christ. And that's what it's going to take. We're going to have to break racial lines, body of Christ. We've got to break racial lines in order to break the back and the power of racism in this nation. And God is calling us to that. He's doing this. Yes, African Americans have troubles. African American, we have our issues. But so does white America. So does Hispanic America. So does Asian Americans, okay? But the idea is we can correct each other. Isn't that what we read yesterday when Paul talked in Titus about the Cretans? He said, correct them that they may be found sound in the faith. Correct each other. If you see someone in their race exhibiting their part stereotypically speaking, then those of us around need to go and to correct that brother that he might be sound in the faith and not be afraid of being accused of being a bigot for making reference to it. Now go to that person in love. The Bible says that those who are spiritual must restore their brother meekly, lest they fall into temptation. And so if you see someone an African American, and they're on the street selling drugs, and you know, and they're in and out of jail, and they're exhibiting the qualities that could be considered stereotypical for African America, it is incumbent not just on African America, but white America to say something to that brother, to try to help that brother, to try to use the influence, the gifts, the talents, and the power that you have to help that brother up. And the same thing is true with African America with regard to white America. When you see a white American abusing his power, something needs to be said to him. He needs to be shown a more excellent way. And yes, it's harder to speak to people who may be in authority sometimes. It may be difficult, but say it anyway, even if it comes out in the form of a rebuke. It needs to be said because we're going in a direction. A racial civil war seems to be over the horizon. Right now, white American cops are becoming the most vulnerable they've ever been, and it's going to bleed over into the races on both sides. And what seems to be approaching can't be good, okay? It's not going to end well for anybody. We're all going to suffer, and the divide is going to grow. And when racism is at its strongest, we as a nation are at our weakest. And so let's curtail that. Let's head that thing off of the past, brothers. Let's head that thing off of the past, sisters. Let's look at it for what it is. Let's come to the communion table. Let's come to the table of brotherhood. And let's come with our opinions of each other. And let's come with a humble mind, willing to acknowledge our weaknesses, and willing to say, let's work together, that your strengths overlap mine, and that mine overlap yours. You know, I find that everyone has something to bring to the table. Okay? Everyone. God has given everyone something. And so let's look around each other, and not through an evil eye of racism. Let's make up our mind, you know, that in 2015, let's make up our mind that we're going to set aside racism. Even the residual feelings that might yet reside deep within some of our hearts that we don't want to admit to ourselves. Okay, but let's look at it. And again, let's look at it from the perspective that it's not as bad as it used to be. I mean, the fact that there's a president, there's a black president right now, there's an African-American president, speaks volumes as to how far God has brought this nation with respect to racism. That can't be denied. Oh, some years ago, that was unheard of. The thought of that seems to be so far out of the ballpark and so far out of our thinking, but we can't ignore the evidence as what God has done in the heart of this nation. The fact that there can be an African American president elected not just once, but twice. It bespeaks the progress that yet exists here in this nation. It bespeaks and it showcases what God has done in the heart of this nation with regard to racism. So, but we're not saying that it's over, but let's not ignore the progress. Let's not ignore the fruit. Let's not ignore how far we've come. And let's put our heads down and see how much further we can go. But let's begin with humbling ourselves and being able to admit our weaknesses, being able to admit what our problems are. And see, guess what? If I have a strength and that it offsets your weaknesses, then I may come to you about your weaknesses because I can talk, because I have a strength there. But I'm not going to come to you in accusatory form, pointing my finger at you and blaming you for fitting into a stereotype. I'm going to say, you know something? As part of this nation and the great melting pot, I'm going to let there be a joining at the bottom of this pot between you and I. I'm going to put my arm around you in that particular area of your life, and I'm going to do my best to walk you through that, not just to stand back at afar and point my finger of accusation and blame, but I'm going to allow myself to become integrated into your life and to walk you through and to show you how I do it. And I'm going to look for you to do the same for me. And then, ladies and gentlemen, and then, brothers and sisters, and then, white brothers and African-American brothers, we will experience what God intended when he made these United States of America, what he intended when he established this nation as one nation under God, indivisible in liberty and justice for all. Our time has gotten past us. But until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis Green wishing you the greatest of afternoons, and God bless.